I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm back. The OG of Jets podcasting and blogging is back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
This is There's Always Next Year with Brian Bassett.
I'm back. The real me. Let's not make a whole thing of it.
And his co-hosts, Chef Travis Milton.
Today we're going to be making the students my tasty baked ziti with basil and fresh mozzarella.
And Josh Conrad.
Oh, my brother, testify.
On Play Like a Jet Digital.
Welcome back to There's Always Next Year. I am your host, Brian Bassett. With me today is Josh Conrad. Travis Milton on assignment. Actually, his assignment is to get his voice better. Apparently, he has completely lost his voice. Maybe he was screaming too hard at the television while he was watching the New York Jets just have no answers for the Atlanta Falcons, Josh, in their 13-8 loss. This game drops the Jets now to a lowly 4-8 multi-game skid in effect. Falcons get to 6-6. And Josh, it was clear that there was no answers coming from this offense, certainly not at the end of the game when they needed that, you know, touchdown to kind of, you know, go ahead or, you know, get back into the game. And it was just clearly not going to happen. And it was not going to happen with Tim Boyle in the quarterback seat or Trevor Siemian, who's everybody's just knows is going to totally change this whole team around and was going to give them the spark that they needed. That turned out not to be the case. In fact, he got sacked 3 times, fumbles, just brutal game. Josh, I know that emotionally you have, you know, let's just say buried this team. Like, you know, this team, you gave it its last rites. You put it in the ground. You threw the ceremonial, you know,
from dust to dust,
flowers, some dust.
From dust we have come, to dust we shall return.
Yeah. I mean, how when you kind of, you know, now that you've processed your grief on what is the 2023 season, 13-8. I mean, what is your clinical assessment of the Jets, this game, kind of walking away from this as we, you know, now go into our 13th game of the season?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I just we've been saying it the last few weeks, ever since Zach Wilson's gone to the bench. I just want to remind all of our listeners, if you're frustrated, if you're feeling this sense of like, I was hoping for wins and why aren't we winning? And you're yelling at your TV and you're not talking to your kids. Like if you switch from winning mode to tanking mode, you can't then expect to win games. We are no longer,
right,
and we have not been for several weeks, in win mode. We're in, listen, and if Travis was here, he would say, Tim Boyle, Susan Boyle, don't matter. Doesn't matter. It's not going to matter. You can put a different boil we've never heard of. You can sure. boil some water, you can boil some crabs, it ain't gonna matter. No matter what's boiling, we're not winning games right now. So it just reminds yourself that we are in tanking mode, and it just feels a whole lot better. I'm not saying that I'm glad we're in tanking mode. I am saying that that is the reality. This team told us 3 weeks ago we are packing it in for the rest mm-hmm. of this season. Aaron Rodgers went down on the first drive of the first game. And since then, we tried to Band-Aid this together. We're not going to grow. The Giants game, I think, is going to loom as like the pivotal turning moment, even though we won that game, that, man, we are not going to be able to sustain a three-month journey into the playoffs with this offense as presently constructed without Aaron Rodgers helming it. This offensive line is a not
shambles
offensive line. I couldn't think of another word. And so just remind yourselves we are in tanking mode. And so if we are in tanking mode, do not expect to win games. We're going to tank and we're going to lose football games. And that's the intention of the football team. The sooner you can make your peace with that, the sooner you can realize that this season started from dust and to dust whence it shall return once more.
I think that's well said. And yeah, there were these moments where it's so weird as a fan. I hate this aspect of fandom where you're kind of like wincing when they start putting a drive together and you're like, oh man, like they're actually going to score. They could, you know, they could go ahead here on the series. And then, you know, it, don't you know it, you get two pre-snap false start penalties in a row to, you know, knock you back 10 yards when you're, you know, at the 40 yard line of the opposing team. And you're just like, okay, like I know I should be mad about this, but I'm kind of relieved, and mm-hmm. I'm also guilty about the fact that I feel this way, but hey, here we are. So so yes, like it's just that it's so sad. And you know, we named the podcast for a reason, as it is, and I hope that someday we get to change the name, but it is frustrating to have to flip the switch in your brain to that, but yep. like to watch yep. it from that perspective. And especially like once, like, you know, the first quarter's in the books, or, you know, first half's in the books, and you're like, okay, this is clearly, you know, it's not going to happen today. When, you know, you're scoring field goals and, you know, safeties, like your best offensive weapon is a safety. Like, oh man, you know, and I'm sure everybody's heard the stat, right, that they have more first quarter safeties now than first quarter touchdowns.
First quarter touchdowns.
Yeah. Oh man. I mean, that is just
insult sad. Stats on top insult yeah. stats at this point. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Insult stats. Right. Yeah. Yeah. ESPN's insult stat department, you know, pulled that one out for us. So thanks gang. Okay. Trevor Siemian saw the field. I just talked about him a little bit, right? Like whether it's Tim Boyle or Susan Boyle, like there was this hope that Trevor Siemian was something, right? There was this hope that, like, you know, hey, this is a guy, he's played for the Jets before. You know, he was pretty good when he took over for Peyton Manning with a, you know, Pro Bowl roster in Denver. So yeah, why would it not work here? Right. It's going to be better. Mm-hmm. He's the only NFL caliber quarterback on this team. Okay, sure. How'd that go? Like, and I get it. Like, he didn't have the full week of practice or whatever, but like, did you expect him to do any better? Like, Joe Flacco effectively has walked in off the street and is helping the Browns, you know, basically put together a more potent offense than the Jets have all season. Like, was there really something there with Trevor Siemian, or were people just deluding themselves with that he was some sort of, you know, ace in your, up the sleeve or whatever for the
Oh,
Jets?
Yeah, we're delusional. Like, let's make no qualms about it. Like, let's not be unclear. We are a delusional fan base. And so, like, let's not try to pretend like we know what we're talking about at any moment. No, like, that's hope. That's the hope in human beings, is you're going to cling to, if only these nine things happen in the midst of this dark moment, if these nine things happen perfectly, then I'm out of it. We delude ourselves into thinking we're Tobias Funke on the couch with his wife saying, no, these people delude themselves into thinking that it'll work for them, but maybe it'll work for us. So it's never going to happen that way. And everything comes down to offensive line. You know, the Browns have a really good offensive line. And so that's why I think you're seeing Joe Flacco off the couch, go out and, you know, put up a stat line that might be one of the top 10 stat lines from the Jets in the last 10 years. Like that's the reality when you have an offensive line that is capable in front of you. I think end of this season, if we start even now writing the obituary on the 2023 football season, I think we're going to look back at this year as maybe the worst year of offensive line play that we have ever seen. And you see, to Travis's point, and so if there's a silver lining here for our guy, is that he's absolutely right. If you can't have consistent, decent, middle of the pack offensive line play, then nothing else truly matters. You can have skill positions filled out everywhere else. If you don't have more than a second and a half before your quarterback is under duress, if you can't have the offensive line stay on the line of scrimmage during a running play, then your all-world running back can't get more than a couple yards anyway. So if everything starts in your backfield defensively, pressures on your quarterback, on your running backs, you're already operating from a position of weakness. And so everything and anything needs to be done to address the fact that this offensive line, the plan coming into the year, fell apart very quickly, that injuries upon injuries upon injuries has left them in a place where you can't do anything successfully. And that's, I think, now even bleeding over to our defense, who, again, played really well. Sauce is incredible. And that defense did everything they could, from literally spotting the offensive two-point lead. And then the moment that an opposing team scores 10 points, functionally, you're done. And so when it was, I think, 10-5 at halftime, I knew, like, we're not getting three drives down the field where we can even kick field goals to win, or two drives to get down the field and win this thing 11-10. It was just not going to happen. And so the moment that you can't operate basic football plays, like, who cares about the plays? Who cares about the play calls? If that offensive line cannot put together two, three, four, five decent plays in a row up front, then you're not going to have any success as an offense. And so we're seeing the fruit of that now. If some of that was in the process, that needs to be addressed with the coaching staff and with Joe Douglas. And then if some of that is just the injuries piling up to the point that, like we've said before, you know, Larry Brown's not walking through that door. Mike Pouncey is not walking through that door.
Yeah. Chad Pennington's not walking through that door.
John Hanna's not walking through that door. Yeah. Anthony Munoz not walking through that door. Like there's no possible way that you're going to put together competent offense with an offensive line this bad, period. End of sentence. Write the obituary.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
There's some things unfolding. We're going to get to that in a minute. But this is so weird. So just, you talked about injuries. I did want to talk about this briefly. So it looks like coming out of this game, CJ Uzomah has been moved to the IR. I know he was injured. This is kind of a, you know, maybe a silver lining here for the Jets. And, you know, we're seeing more of Rucker, but, you know, maybe we'll continue to see more of him as we go. Perrion Winfrey, who was just brought up, I believe, from the practice squad, he also is on IR as well. It's tragic. Just his first game played, and he's put on the IR. But comparatively to a Jets, MetLife Stadium rain game, you know, sodden field situation, like not as bad as it could have been from an injury standpoint, but also to your point earlier, like there's so many injuries, like who else could be injured at this point, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, there's no one else to injure. But two guys who are going to go to the IR, which will change the way things look a little bit. But there is a situation kind of unfolding. We're taping this on Monday afternoon. Lots going on. There are reports from The Athletic. I mean, effectively, how do I put on my old kind of, media commentariat hat? There was like basically two people, Diane Rossini, who's pretty well-respected, and Zach Rosenblatt, right, who covers mm-hmm. the Jets. They both reported effectively at the same time that there had been like I'm not going to pull it up specifically. I'm just going to paraphrase, but basically that Zach Wilson was unwilling to start again as a starting quarterback. He was unwilling to kind of take the plunge back into that. And they basically like did a 3-2-1 send, or they scheduled their send at like, you know, whatever, 1:23, in the afternoon. And then, you know, kind of all hell broke loose from people commenting on it. Since that's happened, Robert Saleh has come to the podium. He talked to media. It was a delayed, he was supposed to be there a certain time, but his schedule got pushed back, probably to get some coaching on what to say or to have some conversations that he needed to have so he could speak in the present tense. But effectively, in the time frame between when that whatever report was released on Twitter and Saleh came to the podium, there was a lot of speculation about effectively the Jets want to go back to Zach Wilson, which is just hilarious for a myriad of reasons. And then Zach mm-hmm. Wilson effectively had turned them down. And then there was also talk that Aaron Rodgers like had, kind of encouraged him to play. I don't know. Again, like I can't substantiate any of this stuff. But that was the story. And then Robert Saleh comes to the podium and basically says, no, like Zach Wilson is willing to play. And kind of the tag quote, the pull quote is, quote, let's be clear. If he was reluctant to play, he wouldn't be here. And so while they have not decided on a starting quarterback for this next game, the idea is out there that, according to Robert Saleh, that Zach wants the ball, he wants to play. But, again, there's these kind of, under the table reports that maybe he's worried about injury. Also there's just a sense of like, I can't blame the guy if he wants to decline the opportunity to play. It's like, look, you made me, I was kind of talking about this on Twitter. It's like, they made him the monster that he is. And then they mm-hmm. have, they now revile the monster that they themselves created. So like for the monster to lash out, like, this is the story of Frankenstein, right? Like it's effectively what it is. Like they have created this monster. They loathe the monster that they created. They hate their creation. But now like that doesn't track as much to Frankenstein, but like, when the monster takes actions that you view as reprehensible, you only have yourself to blame in this situation. Mm-hmm. Right. And so like there's just this pure willful ignorance, like taking place from the Jets and their actions and the way that they've treated this whole thing. Right. Like, I mean, and we're not going to go through the litany of reasons why, but like you could understand why that would be the case. And you could understand like, we'll never necessarily know, but if I had to, place money on like what actually happened, like Robert Saleh ran back to have a conversation with Zach Wilson before he had to go out and face reporters and talk to ESPN radio or whatever. Right. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. What thoughts do you have in terms of how this thing has, this drama has unfolded on Twitter on Monday afternoon?
Listen, if I'm, take away Jets fandom and just really, unbiased look at Zach Wilson right now. You were deactivated 3 weeks ago. You were sent to the bench. You were kind of told we're going to go a different direction at quarterback. Looking at what Tim Boyle has done behind the same offensive line for the most part that Zach Wilson has had, not great success the last 3 weeks as well. And if you confided in a teammate, man, I don't even know if I want to go back in there, or, you know, and then once that leaks out, like, no, I definitely want to play. And then the same thing is happening with Robert Saleh. It comes down to what we talked about last week, which is just the communication and the leadership of this team feels like such a mess, that if things are leaking out, that's actually the biggest problem to me, that people are going and, you know, if Zach says to a teammate and whoever that might be, you know, it could be maybe Aaron's trying to help him with this and trying to make it look like, you know, there's even more chaos and I want to get Saleh out of here. Nothing can be ruled out at this point, Brian. Nothing is outside of the realm of possibility with this team and this franchise. But I would bet that Zach probably did say to a teammate, like, man, I don't even know if I want to go back in there. But no, that doesn't play well publicly. So once that's out in the public, no, I definitely want to play if someone's going to ask me to play.
Right.
My biggest thought there is just like you deactivated him. You told him you want to go a different direction, whether that was, you know, and Zach may be feeling like I'm probably going to be cut this offseason. Like that's a real possibility, or, you know, I'm not going to be extending my the team's not going to option me.
I'm not going to extend my lease here in Morristown.
Yeah. Like, If I'm Zach Wilson, like, it behooves you to probably not be on this team next year. And so nothing is outside the realm of possibility with me, because listen, some other team, he's going to land somewhere next offseason. Like I'd bet my life on it. Someone's going to go top two pick in the draft, but it was the Jets. We've seen Geno eventually thrive other places. Sam Darnold's, you know, an active backup somewhere else. Like, these guys that seem to come away from the Jets seem to start playing a little bit better. Joe Flacco, very, like, you know, obviously a part of that as well. Like, there's
he was so elite.
So it behooves, in my opinion, for Zach, it behooves me, if I'm Zach Wilson, to want to get out of this organization anyway, that has, you know, not surrounded me with talent or asked too much of me or whatever. If that's his point of view, I've got a different point of view with him as well. But I do think that anything is possible here, that everybody's turning to self-interest. We talked about this a couple weeks ago as well, that it's going to just be every man for himself. Either I want to have a place on this roster going forward or I don't. And you're just going to start hearing things. I said, you might hear some of this stuff from Garrett's camp. You might hear from Breece's camp. You know, Breece might start saying, man, my hamstring's actually not good. I need to shut down for the rest of the year. Or the training staff is not taking care of me. I want my own doctors to look at this. You're just going to hear all the little bits and pieces over the next 6 weeks of self-interest from guys. So don't be shocked when every single player is suddenly either on IR or every single player is suddenly, you know, being quoted by Zach Rosenblatt as saying, you know, I don't have any trust in Robert Saleh or this coaching staff, or Nat Hackett is a bum, or this guy's not even around the building enough. You're just going to hear every possible thing and filter all of that through the lens that everybody is now just looking out for themselves and the future of themselves in this game. So don't be shocked. Don't take anything, you know, at face value, other than to say that everyone is now looking for their next job. Everybody's punting on this season, including the Jets organization. So nothing will shock me and nothing will faze me at this point that I hear.
You know, I was just curious. So I took a look at over the cap just to see, like, what could the Jets realistically do next year? So basically, it doesn't matter post June 1 or pre June 1, if they cut them, they eat an $11 million cap hit and they get no savings against that hit. But if they were to trade him now, I mean, good luck trading. You know, you might have to trade Zach Wilson plus a fifth rounder for a seventh rounder, right? Like, I mean, that's kind of what we're talking about here. But like, if you could find someone to take him on and make him their third quarterback, let's say, like, they could save $5 million that way. Mm-hmm. So it is interesting to think about, like, yeah, you know, the trick is, like, they've got to find somebody who, you know, would want to do that, would want to take that on. But, like, that's really the only way you gain anything by getting this guy off the roster, right? I mean, other than just, you know, all the, you know... the sins of Israel, right? Like being put on, and I say that from a biblical sense, just like being put onto the scapegoat and then, you know, let out into the wild, right? Like,
pushed other off than the that, cliff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, pushed off the cliff. Jeez. Dang.
Yeah. I've been there. I can show you pictures of where they would walk that sacrificial lamb from Jerusalem out into the wilderness and then literally push him off a cliff. Not a good look. That's the Valley of the Dry Bones, by the way. That's a whole other biblical thing. We don't have to get into it.
Interesting. Interesting. We definitely need to talk about that. But yeah, effectively, like if you're going to scapegoat him, like that's the way you've got to do it. You've got to find somebody to trade him, even if you end up worse for it. Like if you're trying to make cap savings, if that's the reason you're going to do that, if you're just like, forget it, doesn't matter, then just cut him. But mm-hmm. It's rough, but like, it's funny how, Jeff Howe kind of, you know, pipes in from New England, like New England's having such a great season. But Jeff Howe of the Athletic from New England is basically like, look, if somebody asked him, he'd play. You kind of alluded to that. Like, it's just such childish stuff. And we were kind of laughing before we started taping just to say, like, to me, it feels like, you know, when you have these friends that are just like a total, you know, emotional train wreck, and, you know, they're telling you about their relationships with other people and kind of what emotional train wrecks they are. And you just like you love these people and you care about these people, but at the same time, you're just like, I just can't deal with you. Like, it's fine for you to talk and I'm going to let you talk because you clearly need to. But like, I just have no emotional investment because you're, as you said a couple weeks ago, like, you're not serious people. You're not a serious organization. So like, why would I expect you to act seriously? Like, I just, until mm-hmm. you start acting seriously and I see you maturing, like, I'm not going to treat you that way. And so here's a weird thing though, like this whole Zach Wilson wrinkle and whether he's going to play or not. And we were talking a little bit about just kind of the tank mode aspect of this team. Like, how does, what does going back to Zach Wilson do? If you're a tankathon watcher, let's just say that, like, what does Zach Wilson do, if anything, to, you know, affect the tankathon outcome of the Jets, you know, kind of shimmying their way through to get that third overall pick? Does it do anything?
I don't know.
Delay. I don't know.
Like, I don't know.
And I think that's it. Like, I think, I mean, if Travis was here today and his voice would allow him, he would basically say, look, it does not matter. It does not matter who's back there. The line is such a shambles, right? And I mean, hey, we had Mekhi Becton out there for a bit. Did he stay in the whole game? I can't remember.
I don't think he did.
Yeah. I know he came out at one point. Right. Football Reference. Yeah, let's see. I'll look it up. But like, I don't know that it matters, but I guess the only thing that I can ask myself is like, is he better than Tim Boyle? Is he better than Trevor Siemian? And I think the answer is he's the same. I don't know that it necessarily matters, but he's a cleaner version of the same results, right? Like, it is a better version or a nicer version. The results are the same, largely, maybe marginally better, but like, the results still led us to the same place. So does it matter? Like, I don't think so. Like, on the margins, yes. Like, if you're trying to lose the Patriots game, I think Zach Wilson starting or not starting matters. Like, but outside mm-hmm. of that, if you're playing the Dolphins, I don't think it matters, right? Like, if I'm just looking at the remaining record of this team, like, there are games where it would matter very much and there are games where it would not matter very much. And, you know, like, so who they have left? They have the Texans left. I mean, CJ, that team is on fire.
Commanders.
They're at the Dolphins. Just, that does not matter. Commanders are a mess. So it could matter there. The Browns are a mess, but a great defense and, you know, an offense that's kind of, you know, limping along and still winning games, you know, somehow. I'm looking at that game in particular. That's an 8:15 Thursday night game, baby. So yeah, strap in for that one. That'll be fun. Thursday night football, Browns, Jets at Browns. But that it's like the Commanders game and the Patriots games. Like, I think that's where Zach could make a difference.
Right.
And right. If the teams continue to get healthy, if we see Tippmann back out there, if we see others back out there, like for you tankathons, that could be a concern. What do you think? Like, you just, yeah. Any more thoughts on Zach and his impact or lack of impact?
I would actually, it's so weird because this sounds like even more dysfunction out in public. I would love for Zach to just opt out of playing quarterback for the Jets, but that'll kill his long-term prospects in the league.
Correct.
Do we want to sign a guy that's going to be so brazen? So that's not going to happen, but there are very few downsides to me as the fan with Zach Wilson playing at this point. Doesn't seem like it's really going to matter other than it just gets him more reps, albeit behind a broken line with a disgruntled and frustrating team around him. So he might just get pressed back in for no other reason than he kind of has to if you want to be an NFL quarterback going forward, whether it's for this franchise or for another one. I don't think it improves nor hurts our chances much more at a top five pick. I think we're losing to at least four of these teams no matter what. And I think the Patriots game is going to be the one that might be Belichick and Sala staring at each other from across the field, daring the other one to score some points and finding ways to give up points it could be a very fascinating watch as each team is just quarterback sneaking for three plays and punting for 2 hours. So it doesn't matter. It honestly doesn't matter to me one way or another, other than at this point, I would love the drama of Zach just going, nah, I don't want to play.
Just a quick look, Mekhi Becton, he played all 68 offensive snaps, so
he
I don't
did.
Know why.
Okay.
I thought he came out at one point. Yeah, I thought he was injured at one point, but I guess he must have come out and then there was a timeout or something and he was able to go back in. But yeah, I was like, I feel like he was playing, but I couldn't remember, and I thought he came out. I thought there was injury, but so yeah, okay. So yeah, Becton did play the entirety of the game. All right, quick look at Tankathon. We are currently in sixth place behind Chicago's natural
climbing
position at five. Yeah, we were climbing. We were, I think, seventh or eighth as of last week. But now into sixth. So Chicago is ahead of us, same record. Washington, 4-9. They've got a bye week coming up. Assume the Jets get to 4-9. Like, they have a chance. Basically, that head-to-head against Washington could be a real difference maker for kind of where things land. Does it put them in the top five or not? Like, if they win that Washington game, that would put them in the top five. And then, as you say, New England currently holding the second spot with a 2-10 record. It might be beyond, like, at that point, like, they might have had that. New England is just uninspired. I mean, they lost 6-0 to the Chargers, dude.
Yeah.
So, like, they could have that second spot all sewn up by the time the Jets see them. But would I put it – I think that makes them even more dangerous if they actually go out and beat the Jets and they have that second spot sewn up. Like, that would be
– It's even worse.
That's so Bill Belichick to do that, right? Like, it would make it so much worse for Bill Belichick to find a way to, like, lose to the Jets, solely so that they would move from, let's say – third or fourth place back to sixth or eighth or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think a thing that I'll say, Josh, is like, we as fans, we talked about earlier, we're delusional. Here's another place where Jets fans, especially, the tank. And I do not fault the tank people, but like those people who are kind of gunning for that third spot. Okay, that's available to us. There's an opportunity there. Arizona just won a game against the Steelers. Like there seems to be life there with Kyler Murray coming back and all that. You're setting yourself up to be disappointed if you believe the only way to get to a successful season is through the third pick in this draft, right? Mm-hmm. That said, like, I'm curious to know. We were talking some about last week, what would you do with free agency and who would you keep and who would you cut and what would you try and look for? Just play this out. Like, I think, I mean, Chicago could, I don't see why they wouldn't take one of the top quarterbacks. New England would be absolutely crazy if they didn't take whoever Chicago didn't take with the second, you know, with the second pick, whether it's Drake May or whomever. If the Jets, and again, it's a big if for them to get to third place. I do not think it's going to happen. I could see them ending up around fifth or something like that. But if they were to make it to third place, like, what would you do? Like, I mean, you're, let's just say they wind up there. Would you go for a quarterback? I mean, obviously it's, this all depends, right? And who's available and how good are they? But like, it, just from a purely positional standpoint, would you take a quarterback? Would you take Marvin Harrison Jr.? Or would you, you know, I'll kind of make this third option, two options, effectively take an offensive lineman or move back to let somebody else take a Marvin Harrison or a, you know, I mean, Brock Bowers could very well go inside the top 10 and there could be some crazy team that wants to take him at three. Like, would you trade back, you know, in the hopes of getting another pick or something like that you could use, I don't know, to secure a Davante Adams or whatever. Like, would you move back off that third pick?
I wouldn't. I think unless you are bowled over with an offer, and we know Joe Douglas loves that draft capital. And so unless you are bowled over because either Drake May or who's the other, maybe, I guess it's really just Drake May and Caleb Williams up there right now. But, you know,
Phoenix
unless
is like
Michael,
top 10.
Unless Michael Penix starts driving, you know, rising.
Yeah,
everybody's
he
boys,
will
Anthony
certainly
Richardson
start
last year.
Upwards. Yeah, he'll get steamed up. Phoenix will get steamed up.
So short of that and a team going, man, we also feel like we're just quarterback away, or you know, if Arizona is there and they want to make a move, or you know, so, who knows, whoever that mystery team would be is willing to give us two first rounders and we're dropping back six or seven picks to do so. I just say hold on to it and take one of the there's a couple tackles up that high, the guy from that monster guy from Notre Dame, and I think there's somebody else, but I would lock in right now that we are taking an offensive lineman and the very best prospect we can as high as possible. And that's going to at least indicate to me that, you know, Joe Douglas and the team feels like, hey, if we've got Aaron healthy with our position players, if we actually can in one season move this offensive line from dead last in the league to middle of the pack, then we've got a chance to be successful. I think that would indicate everything to us about direction of the franchise. I'd be very cautious of just staying up there and taking a Drake May, and just adding him and Travis, he would say the same thing if he was sitting here with us right now. It doesn't matter. You could have John Elway back there. He's going to be running for his life behind this offensive line if it's not addressed. And typically, that's not going to be super well addressed in free agency. You know, I think we're building through the draft. I think we're building offensive line still. So that would be my indication, or my hope, I would say, is that we just stay put in that 3 to 6 range and just take one of those two tackles and at least announce that we are building an offensive line for the future. We'll see what Becton looks like in the offseason. We'll see what ABT looks like in the offseason. We'll see what Tippin looks like in the offseason, plus this addition. At least then you start to feel like there is a plan moving forward with this offensive line, rather than we're just going to kind of, you know, plug in, not play. We're not even plugging and playing. We're plugging in, not playing. But that would be the indication to me, is that we're going to stay close to that top six range and go ahead and just draft as many offensive linemen as we possibly can in the entirety of that draft.
Yeah. Fashanu is like the top guy. He's out of Penn State.
That's the kid. That's the other guy.
He's one of the best prospects, people are saying, you know, since some of the greats, Joe Thomas, others like that. So he could be truly great. The other guy from Notre Dame, Joe Alt, is also an excellent player. Yeah. Big guy. Yeah, maybe, you know, it seems that, you know, because he's so big, like, I think there's questions of, like, can he use that? Like, does he know how to use that properly? You know, we'll see. But still, great player, would take him. But I think, yeah, if I'm inside the top five, I think I'd want Fashanu. And then outside of that, like, I think I'd be more willing to, get over by an offer to see if I could move back. The problem is, like, I was just looking at, like, the, you know, the board, kind of the projected board on Tankathon. I do not believe outside of Chicago, well, you've got Arizona who have two picks in the first round, but they've got, you know, they're currently at 3 and 18 because they have Houston's. But then, like, there's no other team that has like two first round picks. So, like, if you're, let's say you land a three, like, there, I do not believe, as currently constituted, there is another team that, like, you could get two, let's say, middle of the first or, you know, mid to late firsts for that pick in addition to whatever else you would, you know, you would grab from another team. But yeah, so, like, I just, unfortunately, unless there's a quarterback there at three and someone is just willing to, you know, vastly overpay over the next 3 years, it's probably going to get hot. It's going to be hard to get that kind of blockbuster deal that you just can't say no to. So I think, yeah, I think to your point, the Jets are probably going to have to stick wherever they are. I mean, you know, who knows? Things certainly change and, you know, situation is very fluid and we're a long way off from the draft, but it is going to be a hard one to figure out, like, who would their trade partners even be to move back and move back in a way which still lets them do a significant level of loading up.
The other part of that too, so if you're going to stay still and you're not going to address the offensive line, that's where you, if you're Aaron Rodgers,
you can't, like, do the third round, right?
Yeah,
because you lose the second pick because of what's it, right? Because of the Aaron Rodgers trade, right? Like, you don't have your second pick, which is going to be a high second, you know, the way it's setting up.
Yeah. And so, like, if you're not going to address it at the top of the draft, that's even telling someone like Aaron Rodgers, like, hey man, we're moving a different direction. And what could have been a 2 year window with him is now done. And he's not going to want to come back and he may just on the spot retire. And then you've got another rookie quarterback.
With hey, Zach, line. You want to come back? We just traded you. We've away. Been, you come back and start time, for us.
Time is a flat circle in that instance. so I think that the smart, logical thing to do is just address offensive line, get one of those tackles, kind of in different ways, I guess, hope for the best that you've got some health and you can put together a team in front of Aaron Rodgers for better or worse. I think at least for next year, we are still tied to him and our draft is going to have to reflect that.
Mm. All right. Well, hey, before we go, I wrote down this note to myself. And I want to ask, I do want to circle back on the game, the Falcons game, because I meant to talk to you about this, but I didn't. Can we talk about the officiating of this game?
Oh.
I am not that guy that's going to, like, just, you know, like, officiating's officiating. I know they're doing their best, but, like, to me, watching that game and the inconsistency of the refereeing of that game, like, am I alone that was horrible? Like, was it just horrible officiating?
It was bad, especially that first half. Like, there was the call against Garrett Wilson for holding that was, like, it was just so it was indicative of, like, there is something going on, and sometimes the confluence of missed calls across a Sunday make it seem so much worse, because there was also I didn't stay up to watch it, but I saw some clips about it today of a really bad no call at the end of the Chiefs Packers game. It was also,
yeah,
like, this is the most clear defensive pass interference you could possibly be.
Nicole Hardman,
and it goes uncalled. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it just calls into question again, like, NFL refereeing is, it just seems so subjective. And because the game has gotten faster and bigger, that these guys have not improved along with the game, that they're going to have to address it somehow, whether it's a spotter who is up in the booth and making calls from there or correcting calls or changes to how calls can be reviewed automatically. If there's something that the spotter can see that's just clear and common sense. It just comes down to the common sense part of like, man, if you get a room full of people in a bar that's, again, unbiased, but if, you know, they're not rooting for the, you know, the Steelers or the, you know, the Chiefs or whatever, and they know, no, that's a catcher, that's a fumble, or this is a penalty. Like, if we can figure out how to harness the common sense of the standard NFL fan in an unbiased way, like, we have to make some changes to the way that the game is officiated, because the Jets don't need 8.5 penalties to go against them to lose a game, but it just made that first half even sadder. Just mm-hmm. to watch some of the calls that were being called on us that, you know, are just, you know, they're at least ticky tack, and it just turns into a ref show, and just the human element comes in some ways that it's super, super infuriating. Because some of those calls were very, very poor.
Yeah. The interception, that was a race. Yes. The Chaz Surratt, lowering the head to initiate contact, and it was like completely incidental. The block in the back by who was that on? I can't remember. It was there was 2 minutes left in the half. Maybe that was the Garrett Wilson one. I don't know, but like that there was that one, and then there was the holding call. Yeah, that was the other one on the Breece Hall, like, first down run. It was right around the end of that first half. It was like, what is happening? That it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. And then and I think it went the other way in the second half where, two-edged sword, right? Like, there were times where Jonathan Vilma on the broadcast was talking about ticky-tack calls, and he's like, and Arthur Smith was screaming about something, they were called for some sort of pass interference, or I can't remember what it was, and he was just saying like, look, like, you just want consistency, like, you can't not call it elsewhere and then call it here, and he's right. Like, I think Vilma was right in that instance where he was saying like, look, like, it's got to be consistent, and it was just not consistent. So that was, you know, I mean, you know, like, again, it's all like sad loser talk because the Jets lost 13-8, what do we get if the Jets actually beat the Falcons? Like, what is that?
Right.
Nothing. So like, nothing. In the end, it's fine, but like, it's just so egregious to see it. And it's also this thing of like, is this just part of Jets being a Jets fan that like, we just never get calls? Like, I guess like, but yeah, then to see like the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, basically Mecole Hardman got mugged, you know, over the back on a play where it was, you know, do or die time for the Chiefs. And like, I can remember it was like third down or something like that. And second or third down on like, you know, less than 2 minutes in the game. And yeah, no call. It was just a blatant, terrible job. Like, I don't know. Maybe someday we'll have robots who will, you know, officiate the game, and we can get consistent because they've, you know, trained. They've trained these robots on, you know, models of like, okay, this is pass interference, this is not pass interference. So maybe we'll get there.
Especially with the camera angles, like, you know, growing up, we needed review because there were like two camera angles, and now we've got a pylon cam and multiple drones and the overhead, and like, you've got 8 angles on any one given play that you can find. Again, you could find a penalty on every play, and so figuring out how do we not just call every single thing, because you just can't, but figuring out which ones actually affected the play and which ones didn't, like, there does seem to be, at least if nothing else, the common sense. Like, you know, you've got your officiating HQ in New York, and they're just buzzing in when they're watching a play, and there wasn't a penalty for something that absolutely was a penalty, or his knee was down before the fumble. Like, if we can cut down these reviews and get it away from the guys in the stadium having to do all that stuff, it does seem like a common sense approach to figuring out how to more consistently call an NFL game in a way that fans understand and the teams understand, because there's so much frustration around the inconsistency, and that's the part that they have to address one way or another.
That's it. We figured it out. We figured out our next careers, Josh.
You're welcome.
We're gonna start a startup. We're gonna do like, just feed it all as many games as we can. We're gonna get, you know, some advisors who are ex NFL officials. They can kind of take the rule book. And then we'll train the models on, you know, what is a penalty, what is not a penalty. And then, right, like, we can have, just like in baseball, You've got the, you know, like the box that basically tells you if it's a strike or a ball. Like, we can effectively do the same thing with, this is a hold, this is not a hold, this is a defensive pass interference, this isn't, this is a, you know, a false start by, you know, like, it's crazy to me how often the tackles are now taking steps before the snap. Like, it's just unbelievable. Like, but it's like, when, but they don't call it. Like, they just don't call it. So yeah, we're on this. We're going to solve it. You and I, we're going to build a big startup. Travis can be our, he can be our the chef of the office in New York City. We'll have, we'll have a slide. We'll have ping pong tables. It's going to be great. Can't wait. Can't wait. All right. Well, hey man, this is great. Thanks for being here with me this week. Thanks listeners for listening in. We will see you next week after the next Jets debacle or glorious but irrelevant victory. We hope the Jets find someone who's willing to play quarterback for them, or that Robert Saleh knows enough to not be a mincing whatever and like actually ask someone to play the quarterback position. We'll hope that we'll have some answers for you after next week, because we certainly didn't. We miss Travis. Travis always is, he's always got answers for us. We'll be back next week. Thanks again for listening. Talk to you next week.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear, so go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.